It always works. I'm Bob Menser, in case you don't know. I'm one of the teaching elders here, and it is my good pleasure to share God's Word with you over the next couple of weeks. So, I think we'll just get started. Now, the title, if I can have the first slide up. I've chosen the theme of We Are. Now, all of you sports fans out there have probably chanted that a number of times. If you Google it, which I did, it goes back to the 1970s, and there's a little bit of argument as to who originated it. Penn State lays claim to it primarily, but Marshall University says, no, we came up with that first. So setting those two aside, we're just going to deal with it for ourselves right now today, and we are. We are has a tendency to make you engulfed in the group idea. You have a sympathy towards the group. You have an integration into the group. You have a sense of belonging in the group when you say, we are. Now, I've been around long enough to understand that your salvation was an I. You encountered Jesus Christ. You made a commitment to him, and your life was changed thereafter. But in God's wisdom, he put you in connection with a lot of other people who had that same experience. This is not an assignment, but it's something that you may want to do that's kind of fun. I thought about how many times the issue of we are is used in the New Testament, and I came up with at least 32 different we are's. We are holy, we are blameless, we are forgiven, we are reconciled, we are loved, we are the temple of God, we are the church, we are his children, and on and on and on, and I could do all 32, and then I could wake you up. But, so we are the church. And God has put us together for an express purpose. We are to encourage one another. We are to provoke one another. We are to comfort one another. We are to be integrated with one another because we need to say, we are, not I am. My cheerleaders are down here, okay? We are the church collectively. And the title that I want to use this week is called Kingdom Colonies. And now sometimes when I go through titles, I have this this other person who's really me. He says, Bob, what kind of title is that? You wait till next week. And I said, well, it's something that it's like a metaphor. I want people to understand that. Kingdom colonies? I've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I never once saw kingdom colonies in there. Okay, all right. So I'm going to try and break that down, where that came from. And I want to start with, you have to understand what a colony is. And we are a colonized people. You learned this in history class, that there were various, once good old Columbus had stumbled on these continents on this side, the French started establishing colonies in Canada, the Portuguese in South America, the Spanish in Central America, and a little bit in Florida, St. Augustine. But the British got, for the most part, what we study and what we learn about, the American colonies. And a colony is a new kingdom, if you will, that has been established in a foreign language, foreign community, a foreign land. So here come all of these small colonies, and they have a charge to them. Our presence means that the land belongs to the sovereign who sent us. So we were sent from England. We are colonizing this. We're establishing trade. We're making inroads into developing all of this land for our sovereign king. Now you're starting to get this picture here. See, we have been brought into a new kingdom. And God has put us here to infiltrate this dark place. I'm going to start with Ezekiel, and the reason I'm starting here is because Jesus quotes this a little bit later on in one of his parables. So let's go to Ezekiel 17. And I'm going to have to scoot forward because I can't read that. And I can't read it on my notes. Thus says the Lord God, I will also take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and set it out. Well, he's trying to tell us something there. This is Ezekiel's writing it. And he's thinking back, who did God pick out to put on top of the cedar? And if you think about it, you come up with the lineage that will come through David. And I will pluck from the topmost of its young twigs. I'm going to pluck something out of David. A tender one. And I will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. He's going to pluck a seed or a leaf from David. And he's going to plant it on a high mountain. He's going to make it far above all others. And he goes on to the next passage and he says, and on that high mountain of Israel, I will plant it, that it may bring forth boughs and bear fruit and become a stately cedar. And now our attention is now shifted from David to Jesus. And he's going to plant Jesus in this high mountain in Israel, and it's going to bring forth boughs and fruit, and it's going to become stately, and birds of every kind will nest under it. Birds. Yeah, if you look to your left and your right, you will see some strange birds. Birds of every kind have come from up here. It's quite an interesting flock. Right, Jameson? Oh, yeah. The birds of every kind will come and nest under it, and they will nest in the shade of its branches. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what God has done for us? He's taken from David, he's taken this twig, this Jesus, and he's planted him so that he will grow and bear fruit and be a tree that we can come and nest in and hide under and enjoy the shade. And the last, God reminds us, in all the trees of the field, oh, all the, every other tree, every nation will know that I am the Lord. I bring down the high tree, exalt the low tree. I dry up the green tree. I make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will perform it. It's a picture of God saying, there's going to come a time when all of the birds, all of the people will flock to this tender twig that I have made, that they may find rest, that they may find peace, that they may gather together. Well, Jesus is speaking the, let's go to Luke 17. The Pharisees were asking Jesus all about this thing called the kingdom of God. Have you ever heard that phrase, kingdom of God? Yes, you have. And sometimes it gets a little confusing. And I want you to know that it's not confusing. That God has initiated his new kingdom by establishing all of these little kingdom colonies. The Word of Grace Fellowship is a kingdom colony. Here we are in this dark place, and we have been charged with extending and bringing people to understand the kingdom, this new kingdom. And he's sprinkled them throughout. We have Summit. We have Saving Grace. We have the Methodist Church. We have Greystone. These are little kingdoms sprinkled with believers in them. Little outpost here in Indiana, throughout the world. And God says, I'm going to plant them so that they grow and bear fruit and declare that the kingdom has come. The kingdom has arrived. The kingdom is in your midst. It is here. And you think, now, wait a minute. If this is the kingdom, I'm not real wild about it. I mean, it's pretty miserable here and there. Said, no. This is just the outpost. This is just the colony. There's coming a time when I will establish my kingdom upon the earth. It will be a new earth and a new heaven. But for now, you are representatives of this, his kingdom. Not this dark world, but you are representatives. The kingdom of God is in our midst. It's here. It's with us. Now I want to let's go to Colossians. And this is Colossians 1. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. This is not past tense. This is now. You have been moved from one kingdom to another. You've been transferred. You are no longer part of the dark kingdom. You are now part of the new kingdom, God's kingdom. He transferred us to the kingdom. That's taken place. So let's see what else Jesus says about this new kingdom. In Matthew 13, he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven, I got to stop there. This will take just a little bit of explanation, but I have to go to Matthew. Matthew, most of the time, when you're reading in the New Testament, you're going to read the kingdom of God. In Matthew, you're always going to read, with the exception of two verses, the kingdom of heaven. Now, Matthew was a Jew, strict Jew, apparently, and they never used the word God. If they would write God in English, they would write G blank D. We never use the word God. And I think a couple of weeks ago, Judah talked about how the word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is used instead of Yahweh. Matthew elected to say the kingdom of heaven. It is the same thing as the kingdom of God. So let's not get them confused. Matthew is going to use kingdom of heaven. So he says, Jesus spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. Oh, man, I just don't understand these parables. Well, first of all, let's think about leaven. Where's my baker? Ah, my baker's right there. Okay. Make sourdough. She says, make sourdough. Leaven actually is a changing agent. It transforms the existing dough into something a lot more fluffy, a lot more usable. We can use yeast for that. We can use baking powder for that. We can use baking soda for that. And it changes what was there. It transforms it. And Jesus is saying, I'll tell you what the kingdom is like. It's like there's been leaven put in you, and you're being transformed. You're being changed. And it's in 3 pecks, and so it's not, you can't really see it. You can't touch it, but you can't stop it either. Once it's in there, it's going to change that dough. It's going to modify it. He says, that's what the kingdom of God is like. It's like leaven that slowly changes you, slowly modifies who you are so that you become a different person. You become a child who reflects and represents the one who put that leaven into you. Let's go to Matthew. This is the last kingdom. And he presented another parable to them. And now Jesus is referring back to Ezekiel, which is where we started. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than any other seed, but when it's full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and nest in its branches. See, the kingdom of heaven in you is showing others there's a safe place to come. There's a place where there's forgiveness. There's a place where there's peace, where there's love. And I can show it to you because we are that people. Not I am. We are. Come. Come into our little outpost, and I'll show you a representation of God's kingdom. Well, they may say, how do I get there? Let's go to John 3. Jesus makes it very clear. He's talking to Nicodemus here. And Nicodemus is a little concerned about this rogue teacher, this rogue pastor. And he asked him a couple of questions. And Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, the requirement to get to the outpost, to get into the colony, is there has to be something that happens to you. You must be born again. Well, what does that mean? Can I go back into my mother's womb? No. It means that you will repent, that you'll believe that I am Christ, the Messiah, the living God. You'll be baptized. You'll die to yourself. You'll be raised again to new life. And I will fill you with my Holy Spirit. That's what that means to be born again. And if there's anyone in here who has not, I say not had that experience, not been born again, not had that encounter, not repented, not believed, not been baptized, not been filled with His Holy Spirit. You need to talk afterwards because I'd be happy to help you enter the kingdom. I'd be happy to help you see the kingdom. Let's look at Ephesians 4. Oh. That in reference to your former manner of life, Paul writes, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness, holiness, and in truth. If you're not putting away the old man, there's something wrong. You need to be putting on the new man, the spirit of your mind, changing how you think. We heard this in the morning Bible study this morning, 2 Corinthians, don't go there. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. New things. A new kingdom. You are obligated to learn about this new kingdom that has new rules, new thinking, new ideas. And your old self doesn't like it. And Jesus starts talking about all those things. Hey, if you're told to walk a mile, walk two. Do you return good for evil. Love your neighbor.
Oh, you don't know my neighbor. My neighbor is.
Oh. That's kingdom mentality.
You don't know. I get so angry. I get so mad. I get so offended.
Is that a representation of the new kingdom? Are you a new creature?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then put on the new self. You having trouble? You got a helper. You have been filled. You've been filled with his spirit. Can you go to 1 Thessalonians? I'm moving along rather fast because I want to get to at least two more points. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. That's not it. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Wrong Thessalonians. I'll read it from up here. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Now that you there, that you may, we just wish he was from Pittsburgh, because it's a plural you. So it should read, so that yins may walk in a manner. Use guys, so that use guys can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, who calls you into his kingdom. It's his kingdom, and he's called you into it. And you're still in this dark world, this dark place. And I want you to know, let's go to the next slide. That's a cultural clash. In the last 25 years, 40 million Americans have left the church. 40 million Americans have left the church. Why? Now, I don't have the answer to that. I can speculate that they didn't see anything worth staying there. I can speculate that the things of the world drew them away from the church. And all I have to do is open my phone and I can be carried into a world of darkness. Man is God. There is no God. What self-help book are you reading so that you can just help yourself? It doesn't take long, and you can be swept away. You can be swept away with political ideologies. You can be swept away with cultural ideologies. Do you know how many people, young people, are currently living together? No sense of any wrongdoing. Because it's a dark world. And quite frankly, we are the only light that's around. And sometimes we don't do a very good job of what we've been assigned to. Those of you who have been to North Carolina, to the Outer Banks, you'll see a lot of advertising for The Lost Colony. It's a play. It's about the colony that landed there, British colony. They went back one day to supply them from England, and they showed up, and the colony was gone. What happened to them? Everything I read says I'm not supposed to do the next thing. But when I was a kid, which was a long time ago, and I'm not saying these are fixes. I'm just trying to say this is how the culture has changed. We actually had Bible reading in public school. In the small town that I grew up, there was not a single store that was open on Sunday. I wasn't a Christian, but I thought, I knew that they weren't open, and I knew that they weren't open because it was Sunday. We were not, in small towns, allowed to have any activities, school activities, on Wednesday. Wednesday was church night. I didn't go to church. I was a great heathen. But I knew that we didn't have any activities on Wednesday night because it was church night. So many times we'll have an activity, we'll have a life group on Wednesday, and people say, well, I can't be there because my kid's in this thing and my kid's in that thing. And I think, oh. We used to take our grandchildren to the Great Wolf Lodge. And that's a park with water slides and stuff. And they had this one that the grandkids called the toilet. And you slide down the slide, and when you get there, there's this big swirling mess of water. And as soon as you hit that mess of water, you start getting swirled around, and you just can't stop. And pretty soon it spits you down this hole, and you come out at the bottom, all beat up. Let's do it again, Pop-Pop. Okay. Colossians 2 reminds us, don't get caught up in philosophy. Don't get caught up in deception. Don't get caught up in that. You know, just one more thing about my younger age, which I find amazing. Up until 1939, I wasn't born yet, just want you to know. There had never been any sort of swearing on a movie. It was Gone with the Wind that Clark Gable introduces the first swear word in Gone with the Wind. And he says, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. And everybody went nuts. They swore on, well, it was such a good movie. You can't go to a movie today that doesn't have foul language. There's a cultural clash. There are churches I better watch it because that's just a generalization. There may be a church who lets it go. They have no filter on language. They have no guard over their mouth. We've had teaching on that time and time again. Watch what you say. Watch what you say, and watch what you say on social media. Well, you don't know what they said. I do know what they said. And if you are saying something edifying, put it out there. Because you are a kingdom representative. You are light in the dark world. We are the church. And I hope that when strangers come in here, they say, man, is there light in here? These people loved on me. These people talked to me. What do they have that I don't? Allegedly, I've known Christians that I thought, man, if that's what they're teaching in their church, I don't want to go to that church. Well, I've used at least most of my time. Do I have anything? Yes. Just because John helped me with this, I want to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:9. And we'll close there. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, a people. Not a person, a people. We are the church. We are priests. We are a holy nation. Our little outpost here, our little kingdom colony, is representative of the sovereign king who sent us here. The sovereign king who gave his life for us, the sovereign king who bought us and redeemed us and reconciled us and transformed us and transferred us into his kingdom. All those trans. Well, not all of them. So that you may. Oh, wait a minute. Yins. It's yins. So that yins may proclaim the excellency of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I'll finish it out. Or did I end it there? For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let us be who we are. Let us be light and salt. Let us be those who don't have to hear the next 20 years from 2026 to 2046, another 40 million Americans left the church. Why? Because they saw nothing there. We have been charged with being representatives. We've been charged with being a people of God's own possession. Let us walk in it. Let us walk in it. Let us be joyful. Amen. I have to end.